Today on Community Voices, local author Mark Susko. He has two new books out, one, Bored Alice, and the other, Lair. Both science fiction novels. He'll be at Prairie Archives Saturday, that's April 25th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. to sign books. So if you have a chance to check him out, do so. Again, Mark Susko, local author at Prairie Archives Saturday, April 25th, 11 to 1 p.m. This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles, and we're with Mark Susko, a local author. We love getting local artists, authors, creative types in. Mark has been busy lately. He has a new book out. Mark, what do you have for it?
I've got two books out. Lair came out last July. It's a novel, and the brand new book is called Boring Alice. My wife told me nobody's going to buy a book with the word boring in the title, but I just sold 20 of them in Japan last month.
She doesn't look boring on the cover.
That's not actually Alice, but it's an interesting story. It's a science fiction space opera about a ragtag crew of misfits on the unfashionable edge of the galaxy on a broken old spaceship, trying to buy low and sell high as they go from planet to planet. And if they get it right, they can keep paying their mortgage. The ship is called the Borealis, like the Aurora Borealis. But the navigator on the ship is really tired of the routine on this ship. Nothing ever exciting ever happens on this bucket, she says. So we might as well call her the Boring Alice. Things get not boring in a hurry when there's a new person added to the crew. The captain is not your typical starship captain. He's not super handsome. He's not super great at his job. The crew kind of has to backstop his bad decisions, and he's gotten into so many that the bank thinks he's going to run out on his mortgage and try to not pay his bills. So they stick him with a babysitter, an agent working for the bank to make sure he's on the straight and narrow. They get a new passenger, and they're tested by what this new passenger wants them to do. He's got a mercy mission that he's booked them to take for him to a war zone. That's the basics of the book. It's the first of a three-book series, and it's going to come out in audiobook later this summer as well. I'm still working on that. I need to recruit female voice to do some of the female characters.
Audiobook sounds like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the idea that I can get a mortgage for my spaceship at some point.
Yeah, the ship in this universe of mine are usually over 200 years old, and so is the mortgage. And a lot of the times, the ships are peopled by entire families who grow up, get old, and retire all while living on the ship. They kind of run their ships like a kibbutz farm.
So we may be running into that ourselves with multi-generational mortgages is what you're previewing there.
I heard a sci-fi story once about kids who had to take on their parents' debts once they were born, and one kid said, no, it's just not gonna.
I don't know how that society treated it, but one of the things I love about science fiction is it's a great opportunity to sort of explore what ifs if we follow this path or that path. Did you have something like that influencing you on this?
You're right about science fiction. It's being all about the extrapolation. I call my books space operas instead of science fiction. There is a distinction to be made. Some guys will get upset about me saying this, but Star Trek and Star Wars are not really technically science fiction. They're more space opera. We can get into the nuts and bolts of what the definitions are and why.
I think we should, since you brought it up.
In really pure science fiction, it's an extrapolation of what happens to the society and the characters based on something technical, either a discovery or an invention or a principle. One of the best examples I can give you of a story that's pure science fiction like that is called Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. In that movie, there's a technology that lets you selectively erase memories, and the entire society is reshaped by this ability to literally forget the stuff you want to forget. You couldn't tell the story under any other way. The difference with a space opera is, you've ever heard the term horse opera for Westerns?
I could follow that.
A space opera is kind of like a horse opera. If you switched out the ray guns for six shooters and the spaceship for a steam train or wagon train. Gene Roddenberry, when he was pitching Star Trek, he called it Wagon Train to the Star. And you change the aliens to Native Americans. You can still tell the same essential story, then it's not really science fiction. It's fiction with a technological layer on the top of it. I love these shows I've been talking about. I love Star Wars. I love Star Trek, and a lot of other people do too. I'd like to make the distinction.
More action, drama versus technology.
There can be action and drama in both of them too, but the story cannot be told any other way based on the technology or the scientific discovery, the principle that you're talking about.
At least one thing that you brought up in Boring Alice is the idea of multi-generational mortgages. Did you have any other concept like that you wanted to make sure you got into your writing?
Boring Alice is really an adventure series. It's written in a very breezy style, like a Netflix series episode of a TV show. It's literally meant to be read in 1 hour. It's based around the concept of what they call Kindle short reads. Most of the people who buy Boring Alice get it on Kindle, though you can get it here in town at Prairie Archives in paperback. I had to go get some more over there because it's selling out pretty well there. Lair is my first book, and it's a novel. It's been described as if Charles Dickens wrote a space opera. It's
a tale of two...
Well, more like a Nicholas Nickleby or one of those kind of things. It's about a 16-year-old kid who is separated from his family. This is one of these families that lives on the starships and is multi-generational. The dad and the mom are the captain and the first mate. The other kids along the family and the extended relatives are the rest of the crew. This kid's about 16 years old. Through a bunch of circumstances, he gets separated from the family and is stuck at a starport for a year until they make their travel loop all around the planets that they visit and can come back and get him. The mom had to make a choice whether to stay and get this kid bailed out of jail for a crime he didn't commit and blow all her preset deadlines and ruin the family and the ship financially, or press on and trust that he could hold on until they could come back for him.
That's a tough choice.
It is a super tough choice. The kid is left in the care of a quote-unquote retired space pirate. He's an alien character nicknamed Grizz. Grizz lives in a junkyard at the starport. His deal is he's under house arrest and has been for the last 10 years. He's been busy those 10 years trying to plot his revenge on the pirates who killed his wife and son. This kid drops into Grizz's life, and Grizz has to mentor him and shelter him for about a year. They grow together. They learn about each other. One of the main themes of Lair is the power of forgiveness and reconciliation over the urge for revenge. These loops of revenge that we get into where you did something to me, I'm going to get back at you. Well, I'm going to get back at you for that. It goes back hundreds of years, thousands of years.
Seeing it happen right now.
The world is in a mess because of it. My premise is that if you can just make that leap to break those loops, maybe we can have a better world.
Is that done through forgiveness? How does that work?
Yeah, forgiveness and reconciliation. That doesn't mean you don't have accountability for your things that you've done. And that's what the kid learns. He's got quite a chip on his shoulder for the situation that he's been put into. And then the woman who put him into that situation, and he have to work together to solve the problem. And he's got to overcome his initial feelings about this to make the whole thing work. And worse, Grizz's vengeance plan looks like it's going to pull the kid's family in with him. He's got to decide which side he's going to be on. Is he going to work with Grizz on this revenge plan and help his family, or is he going to stop the war that Grizz is about to start? And it's not as easy as a yes or no question as you might think it is.
And his Grizz, in his supervision, become a father-like character that he doesn't want to disappoint?
Because he's an ex-pirate. He's a tough guy, and he's uncompromising. The main phrase that I like to talk about when it comes to Grizz is he's got this philosophy. Even though he's imprisoned under house arrest at this starport, he doesn't look at it that way. His saying is that whether you live in a cage or a lair depends on the man inside and how you approach the situation that you're in. And I think that's a good way for people to think about whatever their problems are. If you're in a job where you're not happy, if your living circumstances aren't the best, if you've had some hard luck, if you approach it with a different attitude that maybe I can't change the situation, but I can change how I think about it, you can do amazing things.
This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. We're talking to local author Mark Susko. He has two books out that you can get. Boring Alice is one. It's available at the Prairie Archives. Is Lair also available down
yes.
there?
Yes, it is. And it's available on Kindle and Amazon, but it's also available at the Springfield Public Library, the Rochester Public Library, the Chatham Public Library. And watch out, Jacksonville, I'm coming for you too.
It's good to hear that a lot of times the library, which I greatly value, is a way to get around paying for the book. But as an author, you want to make sure folks are getting it one way or the other.
Absolutely. I just want eyes on my work. For me, it's not about making a profit on this at all. It's just about getting the stories out there. We talked about libraries. I almost cried when I brought this book to the librarian, and I explained that I was a library kid growing up as a teenager. As soon as school was out, I would bike over to the library every day and just dive into all the different sections, especially the science fiction section. And I'm sitting there reading Asimov and Clark and Bradbury and Niven and Ellison and Gibson and all these guys. To think that my words now live in the same place, on the same shelves with those guys, it really made me tear up unexpectedly.
I could see that. I was one of the sci-fi kids reading the Foundation trilogy and all the robot series around it and the Dune series, really doing it at the library where you could check one out and get the other, because, you know, books at the time were less than they are now, but, you know, $20 a novel. So the library helps out quite a bit. How did you decide to start writing science fiction?
I've always been interested in it. These particular books and the fictional universe of them are inspired by a tabletop role-playing game that I started playing back in 1977 called Traveler. Traveler, in a shorthand description, it's a sci-fi version of Dungeons & Dragons. There's a lot of nuances, but that's basically it. You can play out books and movies you've seen in science fiction, only this time you make the decisions that are smarter than what the actors in the movie made.
For folks who aren't familiar enough with Dungeons and Dragons, it's not just a game, it's a template that you use your own creativity with, along with others, to advance story concepts.
You create characters in both of these games, use dice rolls and their randomness to help create a plot that you proceed to work through. The games are different. In Traveler, it's mostly famous for one particular game mechanic that no other game has, which is your character can die before he even has his first adventure. While you're still generating the character, it goes through a bunch of crises in 4-year increments. You may not survive it. And so when we used to play that, if a character didn't even get past that first stage, we would go around the room and start to do a quick eulogies for them before we threw the paper away and started another one. It was very fun, but the Traveler universe is what inspired me to start writing about these kind of things. And then I decided, hey, I can tell these stories in my own fictional universe with my own IP. It's been very exciting, just very exciting.
Do you still play?
I don't normally play. What I do is I run the games as a referee, or what they call a game master. And I also spend a lot of time creating scenario ideas for other people to run their games.
Do you do that somewhere around town? Is it open or is it closed?
It's like 217 Comics and other places that have gaming tables and people get together and run games. My sons as teens were introduced to the game, and now my son runs games. It's multi-generation for us.
When I was a kid, I remember loving science fiction and feeling like it was not appreciated. It was like B-movie consideration. It didn't seem like there was a lot of it around, although there was more than I thought looking back now. It seems like with Star Wars and Star Trek and the Marvel Universe, it's exploded now. It's everywhere. Are you feeling that science fiction is evolving well?
Science fiction can be very tropey. It's very commercial the way it's been approached, but I'm very positive about its future when I see programming like the Apple TV version of the Foundation series, which is not the book, but inspired by the book and very good by itself. I also see things like Three Body Problem and Pluribus there. If anybody hasn't seen Project Hail Mary yet, that is probably one of the best science fiction movies I've seen in the last 10 years. And refreshingly, it's an alien you can like. A lot of the times, Hollywood just wants aliens as a boogeyman monster you can defeat and be afraid of. I'm recommending everybody see that movie.
And what was, I thought, nice about that is I believe the Artemis II astronauts, as they were flying around, got to talk with...
They were talking to Ryan Gosling. In fact, if you listen to some of the controllers in Houston, at one point they were responding like the alien does by saying, amaze, amaze, amaze. It really is a fun movie for everybody.
We appreciate you coming in. We're talking with Mark Susko. He is a local author. He's got two books you could go get down at Prairie Archives, Lair or Boring Alice. Do you see the past of science fiction becoming reality? Smartphones seem to be the communicator from Star Trek. There are a lot of different things where it wasn't real yet, and yet it was in science fiction. Now we're seeing spaceships about to land on the moon and take back off.
There's all kinds of extrapolations we could do. Isaac Asimov predicted the calculator down to the red LED displays on those early models. He had a blind spot when it came to making TV cameras small enough to put in a phone. It's always a moving target, trying to predict the future. I'm excited for what's happening with AI and quantum computing. When you put those two things together, we may be on the cusp of something to rival the original Industrial Revolution, but we have to handle it right. We have to be thoughtful about it.
A lot of people just mention AI and they're very scared that it's going to take their jobs or that it's going to somehow eclipse the human race. Asimov had that right with the three laws of robotics. If we could figure out how to regulate social media or AI so that it's a positive, that'd be helpful.
Randy, if I could just apply the three laws to human beings, I'd be a happy guy.
That would be great. we really appreciate you joining us today. Is there anything else you wanted to make sure you shared?
If you like the books, I can always use more reviews on the Amazon site. And if you don't like the book, let's just keep this our little secret.
You got into writing, but that's not how you started out. You just recently retired.
Yeah, about 3 years ago. And then I had to take care of my brother who got sick and he had cancer. And while we were going to attend his chemo sessions, I brought a laptop with me. And to kill time, I started writing Lair. The book is actually dedicated to my brother, and the main character, Antos, is named for my brother.
Look forward to getting to read the entire novel, and we again want to let you know that it's available at the Prairie Archives, Lair, or Boring Alice. The author is Mark Susko. How do you spell that?
S-U-S-Z-K-O.
Susko. We look forward to hearing more from your creative mind.
Two more books are coming out in the Alice series. Maybe one of them will be this fall.
IP has become a big thing, right? Once you get something established, a universe, can you keep it going? Because people get invested with the first book, so you want to read more.
I love what I'm doing now writing these books, Randy. I got 5 books in the pipeline.
Thanks for joining us today on Community Voices.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Local author Mark Susko. He has 2 new books out. One, Bored Alice, and the other, Lair. Both science fiction novels. He'll be at Prairie Archives Saturday, that's April 25th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. to sign books. So if you have a chance to check them out, do so. Again, Mark Susko, local author at Prairie Archives Saturday, April 25th, 11 to 1 p.m.